quorum. So we are going to reconvene as the PDC Budget Committee. Welcome, Gina, and would you please call the roll?
Fish. Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Welcome. And we're convening as the PDC Budget Committee for the purposes of reviewing Portland Development Commission's proposed budget. We will reconvene again as PDC's Budget Committee on May 29th for final approval. So today's our opportunity to go through that budget with Patrick and his staff and look at projects, particularly in urban renewal areas. We've already talked a lot, of course, about the general fund side of the Bureau. So I want to welcome Patrick and his team to make the presentation. We've got a budget proposal that deals with the realities of these different districts, but still tries to maintain a lot of momentum in the focus on traded sector clusters that the agency has done a lot of good with. Last night we had a celebration with a bunch of local businesses of how increasingly international Portland's business community is becoming, and some success stories like Elemental Technologies, who stopped by this morning during council comment period, and some really great examples of how PDC's been collaborating to create jobs and create great places. So thanks for the good work you do, and take it away. Scott.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners, good afternoon. We only have an hour, and as you well know, this is a large and complex budget. We're going to need all of that time, so I'm not going to spend much of it at this point. I did want to thank you for taking the time, as you always do over the last several weeks, to get briefed on our programs, projects, and the challenges that we're currently facing. Feels like the economy is getting better. The numbers keep looking better. Employment is growing, but there's a long way to go to get to what we used to think was normal, and so there's a lot of work that's still to be done. And of course, you're well aware of our funding pattern for the next 5 years, and the fact that this year's budget in particular reflects a further downsizing from 135 to 90 staff. So there are assumptions built into the overhead, even within the URAC budgets, that match that expectation. So with that, again, thanks. Patrick?
Thank you, Chair Andrews. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. So I'm going to walk through through our budget, and really going to try and focus on the URA by URA summary. And so I'll do the quick overview of the budget, but we'll get into the details in a second. I guess I think it's going to be helpful if everybody is looking off of our actual budget, and in particular in the back we have the five-year budget projections URA by URA. So if you need a copy, we have extra copies. You want a copy? I'll get there in a few slides, so we have a few minutes before you have to start to dig into the line items.
Mine upstairs. It's good. Okay.
So the big budget, we have the resource side and the expenditure side. On the resource side, we are we have total resources right now of $208 million. As in a second, I'll show you we actually have a budget of $175 million. So there's $33 million of contingency that that isn't on the expenditure side. But this just shows you where our resources come from. And over time, as projects have slowed down, the economy slowed down, we have actually grown our fund balance. So those are dollars on hand to do projects. So obviously that's money that we want to put to work. But the good part about that is it actually has reduced our long-term borrowing. So much of the money that we're proposing in our budget is actually not long-term debt proceeds. It's really dollars that we have or short-term borrowings. You can see the rest of the distribution, the remaining 25% of our resources really or less really come from a variety of revenue sources. As we talk in later on in the year about the future PDC, those revenue sources actually become a bigger priority for us. But on the expenditure side, if you take out the $33 million in contingency, You're left with a $175 million budget. We according to our set-aside policy, we've carved out about $36 million for affordable housing. So that's not, you'll see line items in there in our URA by URA budgets on housing, but just, you know, the Portland Housing Bureau shows this money in their budget as well, so that it actually gets double counted, and I know you've gone through their budget. As you can see, the big percentage of our dollars continue to flow into to what we call property redevelopment. There are a couple of big line items within that category that drive that, and we'll get into those, but just there's a $27 million payment to the county for the county health facility that they're planning on building in next to Union Station, as well as the $20 million that we've had set aside for the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. That was in last year's budget, and it's been rolled over to this year's budget. And then you can see the remaining categories roughly evenly distributed between the administration, our work in business development that the mayor highlighted, as well as about $18 million in infrastructure, which includes parks as well as transportation infrastructure. And you'll see where that resides in our URA by URA line items. As Chair Andrews mentioned, and obviously there's a lot to talk about today, and so we could spend an hour on this slide, but we are in the midst of reducing both the staffing and overhead for the agency, and this shows you the five-year trend there. We are aiming to get to the full 30% reduction in both personnel costs as well as our administrative overhead by the end of 13-14. So you see the transition that will happen over the course of this coming fiscal year. But our goal, as directed by our board, is to realize that 30% reduction in our annual costs by the beginning of 14-15. And then you see how it plays out over the remaining years of the forecast. Staffing costs, as we all know, you know, once you reduce them, there still is annual increases. So you can see it does begin to creep back up again. We will have to continue to manage that. On the overhead side, I do believe that we have the ability to continue to manage down even after we hit our 30% goal next year. So you see the downward trend there. And I really applaud our team, because I think we've done a tremendous job of continuing to weed out unnecessary expenditures. So I'm going to move on from this slide. We can always come back, but I just, you know, I realize this is a big topic, and there's been a lot of talk publicly about our staff reductions and those things. And then, like I said, we're going to talk by URA, but we align our budget with our strategic plan. We showed you this when we talked about the general fund, and I just wanted to make sure that we return to it before we dig into the URAs. We do think of our work in three major strategic categories: neighborhood economic development, traded sector, business growth, as well as urban innovation and a vibrant central city. And then at the bottom, effective stewardship is really our kind of the administrative costs and the costs for managing our assets, like our real estate and whatnot. But you can see how the combination of non-TIF, including general fund dollars, is matched up with TIF in our two primary strategic areas: neighborhood economic development and traded sector development, to get our work done. But it is notable to think, if you were to look 5 years ago on how much we invested in neighborhood economic development, this percentage of our budget is a pretty significant growth in how much we've allocated to neighborhood economic development relative to the other categories. And if you take out the big projects that we have that I just mentioned, the county, the payment to the county, as well as the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, the neighborhood economic development piece, our budget does represent a fairly significant piece of our work. And once again, we think that's as it should be. On the urban innovation, vibrant central city side, obviously not a general fund supported area, and it is where we spend the bulk of our TIF, but like I said, it's largely driven, the size of the dollars is largely driven by a few large projects. So now I'm going to move into the URA by URA analysis, and if you, in the back of the budget, if you want to follow along by line items, that starts on page 108. So on page 108 will be the first specific urban renewal area. I'm going to do summaries of each, but I'm happy, as we go through each urban renewal area, if you want to toss out questions about specific line items, some urban renewal areas obviously have a lot more activity than others. But please stop me as we go through if you want to dig in. You can see that from the map, not only do we have our legacy 11 urban renewal areas on the map, but we also have our 6 Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative districts, as well as the new education urban renewal area, which is in kind of the peach color in the central city. So the first, going alphabetically, the first urban renewal area is Airport Way. Airport Way is one of 4 urban renewal areas that has already reached its last day to issue debt. So Airport Way has no new debt proceeds. So everything that happens within a district like this, and there are 3 others, is really based on the revenues that we get from either property sales or repayments on loans. And Airport Way has really been a place where we've used our real estate holdings to continue to fund our work over the past few years. This is land that on the Cascade Station side that we acquired through a partnership with the port. And so we continue to sell off parcels in Cascade Station, and then we have a few remaining parcels on the east end of the district in Riverside Parkway. And so when we get dollars back in, we use those to fund primarily loans, back to businesses or for projects. We use it occasionally when we have opportunity to help local manufacturers with lean manufacturing assistance, but it's really primarily used to lend it back out. And the transactions that we do in this district, the real estate transactions are market transactions. There remains active interest in this part of the city, and so it's a nice, we're sitting on some nice assets that we can turn into dollars to be reinvested. So the next renewal area is, oh, I'm sorry, yep.
I just want to make sure I recall, those have to be reinvested within the
yes.
URA itself.
Yes, okay. Yes. Central East Side is the next urban renewal area. It is an area where we have spent a significant percentage of our maximum indebtedness, and even though we have 5 years left to issue debt, we are coming down to the last few dollars that are in this district. We in the past few years, our focus here has been on business development. Most of this area is included in industrial sanctuary, so it's designed through our policy around this part of the city to promote both job retention and job growth, and so we use the TIF that we have to promote that. There's a lot of startup activity, so our Produce Row initiative, our Startup PDX Challenge, the work we're doing at Burnside Bridgehead around promoting entrepreneurship, all that's designed to reinforce what we think is already going on there in terms of the strengths of the neighborhood. The dollars that we have remaining, we will continue to use opportunistically, particularly to fund both commercial property loans as well as our business loans. We think there's probably an opportunity to do, on the commercial property side, some commercial energy retrofits as well. We have a lot of older building stock that could be renovated, both to increase usage but also to improve the energy efficiency. It also should be noted that this district includes the proposed OMSI light rail station on the Portland-Milwaukee light rail line. So we are in conversations with OMSI around their master planning. The proposed Clinton station sits just across the street from the district, so there is opportunity there for collaboration on that. And it might be a conversation down the road about whether or not the Central East Side could be modified in small ways to pull in more of the light rail activity. That's going to be a big public investment that's going to happen right on the edge of this district.
So I'm interested in the Central East Side budget, that the affordable housing money is in 14-15, 900,000, and 15-16, 2.3 million. And I'm wondering why that's further out rather than trying to get some housing. There aren't that many suitable spots in the Central East Side for actual housing, but I'm presuming that that's along the streetcar and the new light rail. Why would we not want to try to get more housing in to serve as customers for the businesses?
So the set aside has certain exceptions, and the Central East Side is one of them. It has a lower percentage of dollars devoted to affordable housing. And so just because it's more of a jobs district and there are fewer housing opportunities within the boundaries of the district, and so the money that's so what happens with affordable housing dollars is they get spent kind of in a lumpy fashion. So we spend dollars and then we build, wait until the TIF builds up again, so that the Housing Bureau has a bigger chunk of money to put out into some kind of NOFA. So it won't go evenly. It goes far more project based. And
have we already spent some affordable housing dollars in Central Eastside?
Yeah, I don't have the historical figures, but we have. Do we know?
The slide suggests that with this investment, it would be our target's 18%, and we've spent 16%.
So the 3.1 million is 2% of the district. Or 2% of the for affordable housing.
I think we can follow up with the answer. Set aside as a master spreadsheet that
I'm just interested in the timing, because it seems like to start developing some affordable housing projects earlier.
Right.
Because we have the streetcar now, we know we're going to have the light rail soon. Right. Now would be a good time for us to be looking at which projects. But then it would be the Housing Bureau that would be doing that.
Yes.
And you're saying that the 900,000 and the 2.3 isn't available now?
I think we can get you a better answer on this. A lot of this, I don't know offhand the specific direction we have from PHB on when they would expect to spend the dollars. It's a joint decision on both bureaus as to how the timing of it, because the Housing Bureau can't spend money in every district every year. They like I said, they kind of bundle up, put it out for bid, and then the projects happen, and then the TIF kind of grows again, and then they put it out. So it's not the case that every year they can use money in every district. But we can get a follow-up answer to you on PHB's priorities for this money.
Patrick, how is the community redevelopment grants? Where do some of those go?
So the grants on the... You're on 110, and so those are DOS and storefront improvement grants are grants that are available for building owners who either want planning money to initiate and plan around projects that might end up with the kind of renovation of their building, and storefront improvement grants are grants that are used for facade improvements. So those are our most popular grant programs. And they go out in small increments. And so in each district, you'll see we budget round numbers in there, and then it's based on demand that we spend the dollars. Convention Center is the next urban renewal area. Convention Center is one of the four urban renewal areas that has reached its last date to issue debt. The City's Office of Management and Finance issued those bonds actually last year to take advantage of favorable conditions in the bond market. So we actually have a fairly substantial reserve for those dollars. The other reason for the timing of that bond issuance was the anticipated work on the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, as I mentioned earlier. So there's about $20 million that is set aside for that project. As you can see, this is a district that with the remaining dollars that are left, we really have a handful of high-profile projects that may or may not move forward, and so there is certain flux around the dollars. But you could see with the remaining dollars in this district, Convention Center Hotel, Veterans Memorial Coliseum. We would love to renovate the inn at the Convention Center, which is a property that we own that's across the street from the Convention Center. There could be more Rose Quarter development, and then we would like to continue to support work that's happening in the Lloyd District around their eco districts and commercial retrofits. That's a district that's been very amenable to improving the energy efficiency of their buildings. We have a very motivated group of building owners there. So once again, this is a district that, like I said, there's a lot of projects. The main projects could go in a variety of directions, and it could be that next year we're talking about a different use for some of these dollars if some projects don't go forward, or we could be watching the renovation of the construction of some big projects.
So you have $4 million budgeted for the Convention Center Hotel. I guess, are we all on the same page that because PDC would be putting in $4 million, that the Convention Center Hotel is subject to our green building policy and would have to meet LEED Silver minimum?
I'm not sure I can answer that question right now. So I'd be happy to follow up with you because I don't want to represent where it's at. It certainly would trigger our policy. But yeah,
that is your policy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yes, that's our policy. Yeah. Okay. And the city, you know.
So, yeah. Get back to me on that.
Yeah.
Sooner
yeah.
rather than later.
No, I think the answer is yes. I just don't want to represent. I haven't been involved in all the conversations around that. And on a broader point, though, it's not just the $4 million from PDC is one piece of investment. The city obviously is considering, along with the other jurisdictions, devoting the visitor and lodging tax money. So it's beyond just our $4 million that it would be the investment. Right. Downtown Waterfront is the next urban renewal area. This is the third of the four districts that's reached its last eight issue debt. This was in 2008. This is similar to Airport Way. We really are living off of the assets that remain in this district. So we have a number of real estate holdings that are some are worth something and some aren't. and we have a fair number of loans that continue to pay back. And so what we are in terms of priorities for this district, we are, you know, we're looking at using dollars that were originally allocated for the development of the Iwaja Maya project in Old Town to put back into particular smaller projects or business loans. And they include different Old Town properties, including Block 8L, which is the block that wraps around OCOM. And then other smaller properties. We also own Third and Oak, the infamous property with the parking obligation, which we have to reserve $2.8 million out of our budget for that liability. We have a property at Third and Taylor. So it is, like I said, it's a lot like Airport Way in that we have assets, we have some resources, and we're just trying to figure out how best to utilize the remaining dollars that we have on this on these projects. The Old Town, Chinatown opportunities, when we get to River District, you can see it pairs up. We have a small amount of dollars in Downtown Waterfront to invest in the Old Town, Chinatown, and then we have more dollars to invest in River District, and I think that's going to be a priority area for the agency from a redevelopment perspective in the coming years. We're going to sit down and really think through what are the next stage of objectives that we want to achieve in that district. The next one is the education urban renewal area. This is the first year where we would have resources that would be available in the district. As you can see from the budget, on page 115, it's likely that if we were to expend resources in this district, that the first priority would be to pay for the streetcar realignment, which needs to occur. By PSU. The streetcar is on a single track. It needs to be separated, and most of that realignment falls within the boundaries of the education urban renewal area. So if we were to have, as we suggest here, $1.26 million in resources next year, about two-thirds of that would fund streetcar work. The remaining amount for the streetcar would come the next year, about $340,000. You know, I think there's still questions around this district, and the resources will come on very slowly. So there's probably still some decisions to be made on priorities. But that is the most immediate priority that we have in this budget. Next urban renewal area is Gateway. So Gateway is one of our three legacy neighborhood districts. Gateway has still about 9 years left before the last date to issue debt. I think it's fair to say that Gateway does not enjoy the significant resources that either Interstate or Lentz has, and it's been challenging to really generate the kind of catalytic projects that we would like to see in our neighborhood districts. Our work going forward is likely to focus more on trying to promote increasing business activity along the Halsey-Weidler commercial corridor, which is the main spine, business spine of the Gateway neighborhood. We still have property, and we still have ambitions to see more development happen at the transit center. We still think that's a node of opportunity, and there's a handful of property owners in addition to the PDC that obviously have an interest in seeing more work happen there. So we'll continue to review opportunities there, and then we'll make available our community redevelopment grant programs and community redevelopment loans as well to see if we can generate more small-scale activity in that area. The next budget, next URA is the interstate corridor. Interstate, I think, as you know, interstate was amended a little over two years ago to pull in all of a significant chunk of St. John's, as well as some other commercial corridors. It was also pulled in parts of the Oregon Convention Center urban renewal area that ran along MLK. So it's always been, but it's now even bigger. It's 4,000 acres of urban renewal area. So it's really it's a collection of different neighborhoods and different priorities. The work in interstate since it was expanded has been driven in large part by something called the GEM list, which was developed as part of the expansion of the urban renewal area. And so PDC, along with our bureau partners, continue to check off items on the GEM list, and they include parks. So this year we're taking on Dawson Park. That project will happen during 13-14. Bridgeton Trail is a project that is funded in this budget, and so we hope that project will move forward. We also are working on some infrastructure projects along Killingsworth and Lombard. But we also have resources that we've been able to set aside for business and commercial redevelopment opportunities. So you see significant dollars in those line items. And when you look at the different industrial corridors that exist within this urban renewal area, including parts of Swan Island, as well as parts of the Columbia corridor, this is actually a place where we continue to think that there is opportunity for traded sector job growth, and so we've always allocated significant dollars for that. And then it's once again, it's important to point out this is one of the most active areas for us in terms of storefront improvement grants and other commercial property grant programs, community livability grants. These are very popular programs in North and Northeast Portland. And so we continue to budget accordingly.
Patrick, could you elaborate a bit on the $2 million for traded sector business development site recruitment?
Page
118.
Yeah, I'm getting it. So as I mentioned, we have allocated dollars across each of the 5 years for this purpose. This money allows us to have either smaller project dollars available for smaller expansion projects within industrial companies, or it allows us to actually aggregate the dollars if we need to accelerate dollars. So if we had a project that was over $2 million, we would bring money forward for that purpose. The projects that are potentially available, and we are actively in conversation with a handful of companies where these kind of dollars would be appropriate. But I'm kind of stuck in this, NDA situation where we can't, we can brief you in a separate way, but we can't talk about them more right now.
And what are some of the Killingsworth streetscape improvements?
So we're currently Jefferson High School frontage project is currently under construction. So that's an infrastructure project that is on the front side of Jefferson High School on Killingsworth. And do we have any beyond that chunk?
We've been working closely with PCC as they think about their expansion to consider what would be complementary. So it'll probably follow the Jefferson frontage project.
Right. So right now, if you go to Jefferson, it's all torn up on the sidewalk there. That's work that we're paying for.
That's going to open up Jefferson High School to Killingsworth? Is that the idea?
It's going to be a little mini plaza. It still goes up to the sidewalk, but the corners are cut away, so there's more of a plaza there. And I forget, I don't know if there's art or, but it makes a little bit more of a plaza feel to it and creates a full front along Killingsworth.
I think there's a gate and an entryway, right, into the campus.
Yeah. A little bit safer as well.
Yeah.
Creates some walls and barriers and creates a place, really.
Now it's, just what was just a chain link fence. And,
That's what I was thinking. Right. Good. That's great. And so the next urban renewal area is Lentz. And I think we did it in our last budget work sessions, and we've talked to you in our one-on-one briefings about Lentz. So Lentz still has roughly 7 years left to issue debt. And as you can see, we've, our investments to date are, are just under $100 million. We've, a lot of the money has gone into affordable housing and in infrastructure, which we think have been quite successful for the neighborhood. We know that we've also spent a fair amount on property acquisitions and that have not led to redevelopment projects. So we know that that's an area where there's opportunity there, but it hasn't, we haven't had the amount of project activity that we would hope for. And I think the residents and community folks have definitely communicated their desire to see more happen. And so we definitely agree on that front. Our going forward, we'd like to make sure that we make progress on a handful of catalytic projects. So if you think about Lentz Town Center and on the Foster Corridor, we have the Streetscape project, which we're in the midst of now in Lentz Town Center. We have the property at 92H, a few blocks off of that intersection, where we are working on something called the Green Innovation Park there, and we have the support of community residents. We are working with us and the CDC on the Mercado project, which is at 72nd, and then we're also trying to explore other specific opportunities for properties that are in the town center. PDC owns, as I mentioned, we own a number of properties. We're looking at tenants, more catalytic tenants in a couple of our properties, and we're working with private property owners on some opportunities as well there. So we think we can see some noticeable activity over the next couple of years, as long as we're more strategic and have private partners and tenants who are willing to take a risk on the neighborhood.
So last year, as part of our school assistance package, there was a commitment of $500,000 from PDC in exchange for the long-term lease Portland Public Schools is giving us for the former Foster School site to be redeveloped into intergenerational housing for families raising foster kids. I don't see that $500,000 here anywhere.
That. Unless my memory is faulty, I thought that was coming out of PHB's.
But isn't this list include PHB? I'm looking under housing and I don't see anything. Maybe I don't recognize the name, but I don't see anything that looks like that former Foster School site.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the line item it's from this year, I guess, from the 12-13. We have a line item for NEA.
No, that's not the same thing. So, no, that's different.
So we can talk to housing folks. It would come out of an allocation that they would get from the set aside. Once again, we don't allocate the set aside. There's a formula basis.
I get that, but if you're listing everything that's under housing, then I would expect to see that showing up somewhere.
But they have line items like affordable rental housing that could be used for different purposes. It doesn't have to be specifically called out.
Yeah, Tony just confirmed it's in that line item, the affordable housing.
It's under affordable housing.
Affordable rental housing.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Where is that now?
Under 1213.
So page 120.
Page 120.
Right.
If you look under housing, this the fourth housing line item, affordable rental housing, there's 500,000 in 12, 13, and 300,000 for 13, 14, and then going out, you see.
That's it. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Tony.
Okay. The other thing I just want to point out Commissioner? Sorry.
I was just, one thing that always draws attention is the strip, you know, the dog leg, as I think people call it, down Foster between 52nd and 82nd, and you've got a pretty significant $1 million transportation expenditure scheduled for this next year. So I think it'd be helpful if you elaborated on what that money is going for and how that fits in with overall economic development in Lentz proper. You're looking at the top of page 121, you've got Foster, 52nd, 82nd, $1 million under transportation.
I can get back to you on that line item. This is work we do with PBOT. So money that we do on these projects flows through PBOT. So it would be part of PBOT's list of priorities. But we can elaborate on what that is.
But it's PDC money though. I'm surprised actually not looking at that the 12-13 number is not bigger. Because there's a lot of work going on out there right now.
So. But that's in the other line item.
Oh, it's, yeah. That's the okay. There it is. Yeah, streets, sidewalks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
See it? Yeah. Got it.
We can. We'll have a detail from PBOT on that, on this.
Okay. Manager.
The other thing I would point out is that we have 300,000 in community livability grant dollars budgeted for Lentz and this, and we already know and we budget based on historical demand, so we already know that we have significant demand within Lentz for this program. The announcement's going to be made in July, applications due in September, the money will go out, and so we're likely to actually make a recommendation to double this amount in Lentz. So we'd move dollars forward or reprioritize from other programs. But we think the demand is significant so that's near the bottom of 121. That number 300, we think we could easily put 600 to work. And as an example, when we ran the program last year, we offered Lentz and Interstate at the same time. And we had like 9 applications from Interstate and 1 from Lentz. So the opportunity to get dollars out in Lentz is something we want to make sure that we don't miss that opportunity. So that's a change we would make from the budget you're looking at.
Is there anything going on with freeway lands property in here anywhere?
It's off and on. We spent a lot of time working with the property owners a few years back. I think some of this we've brought prospective purchasers to them, and I think it's on hold right now, but some recent conversations have led me to believe that maybe we could restart conversations around that. It's, you know, I think everybody, including the property owners, sees the property as having a higher use than it currently has now. But what it has now is income generating. I mean, it's being productively used, and so I think it has to make sense for the property owners as well as for what the city wants to see happen. But you know, I had a meeting last week with a business owner who indicated that they're located nearby. They'd love to expand, and they don't really know where else to expand on that stretch of Foster. So I think the demand is there for more commercial industrial space. So we might take another run at it, but it's a private piece of private property. So.
I think of, I know at least two of us were at the PBA breakfast and we heard a great talk from Precision Castparts. We heard from them this morning on behalf of PDC, and it just seems like, wow, maybe Precision Castparts is looking for some property sort of in their Southeast Portland corridor.
Yes,
that could be an ideal site.
It'd be nice to have more space for companies like that
on
the east side, yeah. So the next set of URAs is the NPI districts. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on that. You had a briefing on the NPIs at the beginning of April. We've collapsed the NPIs into one budget. They really are 6 separate ones, and you can see they all have roughly the same resource projections. These are pay-as-you-go districts, so they don't incur any long-term debt over the life of each district. I think each of them is going to get about $1.2 million, and as we've talked to you before, these are TIF dollars. They're matched with revenue sharing dollars that come in from the city and the county, as well as private match. So what we end up having is a combination of TIF dollars that can be used only as TIF can be used, but other dollars that can be used for operating support for these organizations. Over the next year, as we mentioned in our previous presentation, we're still, we're going to be in this capacity building mode. But each of the districts, I think, is now staffed. And so you'll begin to see the benefits of that staff work going forward. The next urban renewal area is North McAdam or South Waterfront. This district has, as you can see, still another 7 years left before the last eight to issue debt. Right now, as I think we briefed you on earlier, we don't believe at the current trends that we're going to hit maximum indebtedness on this district. I think that number was probably ambitious, but we still have a lot of opportunity. There are the dollars that we have currently available are being invested in things like the parking garage at the Collaborative Life Sciences building that we can all see is nearing completion. That's a part of the development agreement that we've had with OHSU now for probably 8 to 10 years. And then there's some work being done on thinking about eco-district infrastructure pilots as part of that campus. We have some transportation issues to think about on the south end of the district. And then I think, as was in the news, we have a lot of opportunity on the ZRZ site and what money gets spent in that district. And that part of the district really will depend on what type of activity happens there. So we have a general sense of what investments need to be made. We have a sense for what dollars under current projections will be available, but our goal is really to help the ZRZ Realty figure out how to attract the best uses to that site. And the more investment that we attract to that site, the more TIF we will have to put into infrastructure like streets and the greenway and other things. Absent that, this is a relatively quiet year for North Mac, but I think we're going to see a lot of, like I said, a lot of activity around what's next for that the northern part of the district. And then River District, we can just skip over. No, I'm joking.
You want to keep that secret from? You want to keep that away from us?
Oh, look at all that money.
River District. So River District obviously is the has the most resources of any of the urban renewal areas. It has, as a result, it has a number of very high profile projects with some very big price tags. So we'll just I'll walk through some of these things and we could obviously dive in. As part of the amendment to the state's urban renewal statute in 2009, we agreed to provide $26.9 million to the county for a TIF eligible project in this district. The money, part of the statute, was to be spent $10 million this coming year, and then $16.9 million, I think, 8 to 10 years out. As part of the discussions with the county around their plan to build this health services building in the River District, they asked to accelerate those dollars, and we agreed to that. So that's the largest expenditure you see in this budget, is $26.9 million payment to the county for that building. The other projects that you obviously have that may or may not really move forward this year, but they include Centennial Mills, where I think we're now working with Harsh. They're now in the lead in the development of that project. We are
working actively with their development team. There's going to be a charrette and other things to begin to vision the site. But the price tag there will be significant. So it's probably worthwhile to have a briefing with council at some point on Centennial Mills, specifically on as we move further along, and the Harsh team can certainly come in and we can talk about the various options there. The last thing I'll say about that is that there really is a price tag with that. As a result of the fact that we own the building, there's a price tag no matter what happens with the building. So various development scenarios have price tags. Demolition, which I know the council directed us not to do that, but just people always bring it up, that has a price tag. Maintaining it has a price tag. So it's not. And then we also have the tenant next door to the Centennial Mills, which is the MPU, and that has a price tag as well. So everything has a price tag on that project. It's just, so there's no free options. I always like to remind people that. Union Station, the PDC owns Union Station, and we're in the midst of another set of renovations on that. We have significant federal money, so we just initiated I believe $5 million project, four of which comes from the federal government. We will continue to think about the long-term future of Union Station. We believe it has a better future than its present, that there has to be a higher and better use for Union Station in addition to being obviously a train station. So we continue to think about those opportunities. As I mentioned earlier, I think because we when we redrew the Boundary River District and brought in a bunch of Old Town, we have an opportunity to take on another phase of development in Old Town. And I think we believe that with the investment that PNCA is making the 511 building there, along with what we believe is some interesting activity with the need for office space and other things, that we believe that there's an opportunity to make some strategic investments and to attract private investment in that. We're working with planning around the Central City Plan that will hopefully begin to clarify some of these issues as well. And some of that might include even addressing the parking needs in the district, which there's a fair amount of surface parking in the district. We think structured parking could actually not only deal with some of the surface parking and provide development opportunities, but could help solve some of the parking issues that we have within Old Town. And in addition, there's an infrastructure project that's in the budget related to signaling on Burnside and some other traffic improvements, which could improve access in and out of Old Town and downtown. So we think that's kind of the exciting work that's ahead of us, and it's in contrast to some of the bigger projects in the Pearl District. The Old Town stuff feels like we can actually begin to get some singles and doubles, some near-term wins, and so I think we're looking forward to that. I know that we have post office sitting in this urban renewal area budget, and I think we're nearing the end of our conversations with the post office about, you know, it's really a fish or cut bait kind of moment. And just had an email from a staff person today who had a conversation with the post office about, you know, here's kind of where we're at on this, whether or not a deal can go forward or not. We can brief you on that in the near future as well. But I think it's the kind of thing where we might be sitting here next year and having a conversation about we either going forward with the post office or we're doing something else with the dollars. I think we're getting close to that.
Patrick, what's the $2 million transportation Pearl District line item for 13-14?
I think that's the one I just mentioned, which is the transportation improvements on West Burnside.
Okay.
Includes a lot of its signaling, allowing for some left turns into Old Town as well as into downtown. It's a project that was initiated last year, did some additional analysis on it, and so I think PBOT's ready to move forward on that project. I think some of it has to creep into the Pearl because you push traffic in, you got to deal with the traffic once it's in the Pearl. But there could be something else in there. I think we're a little under 2 million, or I forget.
It's right about two.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Any other questions on River District? Like I said, I think we can, you know, we can bring back individual briefings on things like Centennial Mills and Post Office and those projects. We did, just as a quick look back, we did just open Fields Park. You can see the dollars that were in parks here, $4.2 million. We now have the third of the planned parks from the Pearl. So it's nice to see these things actually come to fruition after many years of planning. So South Park Blocks is the last of the four districts that has reached its last aid issue debt. This district really has kind of minimal assets, small amount of cash left. These dollars had primarily been slated for the Oregon Sustainability Center. So we now have those dollars to redeploy as commercial property loans, business loans, some commercial energy retrofit activity. There might be some individual projects that we could make use of the strategic dollars, but for the most part, we're really, this district, for all intents and purposes, is winding down its activities. And then Willamette Industrial. So Willamette Industrial, we've never issued debt in Willamette Industrial, never really been able to support any long-term debt. The dollars that are available in this come from, you know, the kind of some pay-as-you-go, basically. And we have tried various program offerings and other RFPs and to get the dollars in this district out the door. There isn't a lot of demand for the dollars in this district. I think a lot of it has to do with the issues. If you can see the map, the issues relating to Superfund and what it would take for somebody to make an investment in property there. I think there's obvious questions about the future of Willamette Industrial, about the ongoing need for it. But to the extent that we have businesses, property owners that are in the kind of the northwestern part of Swan Island and on the other side of the river, we do have some resources available, and we'll continue to try and push it. It's obviously the manufacturing sector that would be of most that would have the interest in these dollars. So that's the quick run through of the urban renewal area budgets. Happy to double back on any specific topics, and we, as the mayor mentioned, we come back on the 29th for the final disposition of our budget. So we're happy to get any information to you in the interim.
Okay, questions, Patrick, Scott.
Just a quick reminder that this process actually starts in the fall with a PDC board taking a look at the strategic plan, goes to urban renewal advisory committees for review. They're invited in to testify at the very first time that the commission takes a look at the budget, and then there is a second opportunity for anyone to come in with it an item on the agenda. Of course, anyone is invited to come in and speak anytime on any topic anyway. But so this has seen a lot of scrutiny to date. It's been passed by the PDC commission, it's just teed up for your pleasure.
Okay. Great. Thank you. And do we have anyone signed up to testify, Gina? One.
Lightning.
Okay. Come on up.
My name is Lightning. Relating to the Centennial Mill site owned by PDC, Willamette Week stated PDC has sunk operating expenses unprecedented somewhere around $13 million into that property. Now, one of the concerns I have, they acquired it in the year 2000. Now, it's my understanding the only tenant currently at that property and is basically the horses for the mounted patrol. And it's my understanding they signed a one-year lease with PDC to be at that property. So I guess I have a little bit of a problem understanding operating expenses for some horses at a property that possibly should have just been boarded up of $13 million. It's hard for me to understand where that kind of money went. And I'm in the process of trying to pull that data through PDC. There are numerous buildings around the city which PDC owns which are currently vacant and boarded up. They appear to be losing a tremendous amount of money year after year. Due to the fact of historic low interest rates that we currently have, would it not be prudent to begin a property disposition plan at this time? There are many developers looking to buy land to develop at this time. The city should use the equity dollars in these properties in a more productive manner. They are not making any returns on the money. They're losing a tremendous amount of money. I don't see any reason to hold them if they continue to lose money over time. Now, one of the issues I have on the Enterprise Fund is that I like what they did at the Bud Clark Commons. I think it's one of the best projects that was developed throughout the city. And one of the things I like is the social services they provide throughout the city to the homeless. Another area that I think would be beneficial to the city is maybe PDC to take a look at maybe funding a company to do some type of a similar labor-ready type business, because I think we have a tremendous resource there waiting to work, wanting to have jobs, wanting to transition back into the community. And I think with a little bit of effort from the city, there might be an opportunity to tap into that labor pool, which I think is very beneficial. And basically, like I say, I believe throughout the city that the homeless have the potential to show some of the greatest improvements to the city overall if we create ways for them to be able to do that. Now, another issue that I have, too, is on the low-income housing. What I'd like to see maybe, and I don't understand, is why we cannot buy apartment buildings, say, even on contracts from the owners, and basically not have a tremendous amount of our equity tied up into the properties, and maybe work with them, owners that have had them for many years, on maybe doing interest-only payments for, say, 5 to 10 years. Maybe they'll transfer them into their family trust. They'll go down to their kids. We'll do a balloon payment at a certain time. But we'll create a rent structure that will allow us within the current market to sustain that low affordable rent for the people. And I'm sure there's many people in owners out there that would be willing to look at a program if it was presented to them, in a reasonable manner. And that's where I'm at. Thank you.
Good. Thanks very much. Good points. Thanks. No one else signed up? Okay. Thank you very much. We will come back to this on the 29th, as mentioned. And now we have one more time certain item, which is, we're going to reconvene as the City Council and close the Portland Development Commission Budget Committee meeting. Do we have to recall the roll?
We probably should.
Okay.
Fish?
Thanks, Gina.
Saltzman? Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Okay. Now, item number 445, please.
Introduction of the Citywide Equity Committee and presentation of its strategic plan.
Mr. James, welcome. Good afternoon. And panel, if you have one with you. Good afternoon,
Council, Mr. Mayor. My name is Dante James. I'm the Bureau Director for the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And it is truly my